Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper people, Clipper villagers? Is that a good one?
I think that's fair.
it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Locklear.
We are Locked on Clippers, part of the Locked on NBA Network. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week. Even though the season's over, we still got plenty to talk about. In case you missed it, we just fired head coach Doc Rivers. So today we're going to be talking a little bit more on that fallout. It was pretty murky yesterday, sort of the details surrounding the firing. It was unclear, you know, what role the players played in this, if the front office was in favor of this decision,
yeah.
If Steve Ballmer was kind of pulling the strings. So some more information has come to light today. So we're going to be talking about that. And then it kind of leads into Ballmer is certainly very interested in making some dramatic changes for this team.
Yeah.
We're not fully sure of what that's going to look like in terms of roster construction, certainly in terms of coaching, and really the future of the franchise. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the second segment. And then we had to put it off yesterday due to the breaking Doc news, but worry not, Landry Shamet fans. We are coming through with his
sorry.
We're sorry. I'm sorry to Landry.
Yeah.
We're coming through with his postseason grade today. That's going to be our final segment to wrap it up. So please stick around for all of that and possibly a couple tangents coming up right about now.
You are Locked on Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, yeah, so as expected, there was even more Doc fallout. I guess it's kind of some hot goss, you could say. The sources are coming out. There's a couple big articles, one by Jovan Buha, which I think for The Athletic, which I think was the best one to kind of represent what kind of actually happened.
Yeah.
There was one from Ramona Shelburne, and there's a Kevin Pelton one too. But
lot of it seems like, it seemed like a key factor was – people were not happy with the way he tried to juggle the egos and personalities of the locker room.
Yeah.
With a lot of people of the opinion that he didn't really strike the balance, which, you know, we kind of talked about, right? Like, it was unclear.
There was an article written about it by Jovan that everyone got mad at on the team, and it turns out it was just totally true.
Yeah, team chemistry was an issue. I mean, around the All-Star break, we started having a lot of news a little bit previous to that. And, you know, we've talked about it before on here, too. Like, the team just didn't have an identity. And with such a strong roster of players, I get that there's going to be egos and there's going to be, you know, some clashes of personality.
Yeah.
But I don't feel as though it was ever really risen to the occasion to put the whole thing together.
Yeah. And it's the fractions are interesting to look at, right? Because a big issue was kind of keeping Trezlu and Bev comfortable with what was happening, mm-hmm. which part of me is kind of like, what does that mean? Like, were because there was no system, were they not buying in? Like, obviously the vibe was different from last season to this season in terms of how the team was expected to do, like, pretty quickly. That's a rough thing to hear, because you're like, well, was it kind of like this old guard versus new guard thing, which is really annoying when you think about how the team was constructed. It was constructed pretty well. It was constructed to go far, and if this was getting in the way, that's just kind of like tough that Doc couldn't manage that.
Definitely. And also, it kind of bums me out about these key players, because these were guys that I understand their frustration and that they've already bought into a role on this team.
Yeah. Like,
and I understand that. And I understand that it must be difficult to try and, you know, throw that out the window and then rebuy into something else that maybe you never got comfortable with.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, it's up to these guys who have been here the longest. It's up to these, like, kind of.
Yeah, two of these
players.
Guys are vets. Like, two of these guys are firm vets.
In my eyes, it's up to the, like, these players, you know, who are such, you know, the longest tenured Clippers in the locker room to kind of fall in line on these sort of things. And I understand that it's strong personalities and maybe that's difficult to do, but I would say I'm disappointed.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, damn, okay. And ultimately, Doc is a great kind of off the court coach too. So it must have been difficult because he couldn't get, you know, seemingly as reported, a handle on it.
Yeah.
Another thing that came up that was kind of a common theme throughout the whole year after that first piece, great piece from Jovan was written, Some members of the Clippers organization felt that while Harrell brought his typical energy on offense, the effort didn't translate to the defensive end, yet Rivers stuck with Harrell, whom he considers to be the superior player to Zubats. I think every single Clippers fan listening to the show just kind of probably said, this makes total sense when they read this. Like,
just a collective, you think?
Yeah, just like, yeah, man, like everyone saw this. Which is frustrating. Like, this is a thing that, you know, it makes, this is one of those things where like, yeah, it makes sense Doc got fired and this is a reason, like 100%. This was such a clear, glaring issue in the playoffs.
Yes.
And the fact that he wouldn't change it was baffling.
Well, so I feel like this was more, you know, we saw hints of this really all season, right?
Yeah, but Travis was playing the whole second half, so games that were, didn't even matter.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, he did play less minutes technically than last year. Not technically. It's one or the other. He played less minutes. And he did improve his defensive rating from what it was last year. Be that, like, take that as you will, because some of that is just going to be being on the court a bunch with Kawhi and Paul George.
For sure.
And, you know, his rebounding did improve. But the effort, like, it was like the effort was only there when he was getting fed.
Yeah.
And he was the focal point of the offense, which, hint, hint, man, if Kawhi and Paul George are on the team, that's not you.
Not you, yeah. Yeah, another point that I thought was interesting, and we all know the Trez stuff, you know, it's he played too much in the regular season. It worked great, kind of, but then it came back to bite us in the ass.
We never got to ramp up Zoo.
Zoo was like, all right, Zoo, now you got to play 30 minutes of playoff basketball against the best center in the league. And it's like, oh, great. Okay, I'm used to 20 regular season, no second half. Like, that's a difficult position to be in.
Yeah.
And the reluctance to play, even let alone, not just Zoo, even just trying the five-out lineup more, even putting Jermichael out there or something like that, which had proven to work. Like, this goes back to what Dominic Cole said, right? Like, when things are kind of up in the air, Doc seems to be a little better as opposed to when things are set. Like, it's this frustrating thing. Another point was Rivers' reluctance to develop or empower the team's younger talent throughout his tenure.
Yes.
Which is, that's a big statement, I feel like.
Yeah, so we talked about this. There's a great Twitter Tuesday question about how the Clippers have been unable to develop young players. And, you know, part of that was we had Doc for a GM. Then we had some middling picks. And then there hasn't really been a move to develop, you know, a rookie. And – you know, it goes back to the thing of like when Doc's back is against the wall, he is willing to experiment and try things. And you know, thankfully, we got to see Shea develop.
It took Avery Bradley ankle injury to get Shea in the starting lineup is the other thing that I think a lot of people forget. That's why Shea was in the starting lineup.
Only reason. Even though the offense was clearly broken.
Yeah, and better,
But, yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. You know, we haven't been able to draft that well. We traded the only pieces that we ever have developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about this. That's one of those things that I realize that it's a knock on him somewhat over his tenure, but it can't be a knock this year, man. Like if you were expecting.
Of course. No. That's why I like the tenure part. Cause this year it's like, no, I don't want to see man and fee develop. I want to see us win 50, whatever games and go to the championship.
Like if after July 5th, you thought this was going to be a team that could develop or empower younger talent, it ain't happening, man.
Yeah.
And I do think that there still was a better job to be done with Landry Shamet, but how much, I can't really say with any certainty.
That's a good call. But yeah, again, all reasons that kind of, you know, were issues without the year and Doc's tenure that made sense. He got, I don't even want to say let go. Who knows in terms of what really happened. We're going to actually talk about coming up next, kind of Steve Ballmer's role in all of this, because he absolutely, obviously, rightfully so, had a role in this. But first, look, you guys have counted on restaurants and now they're counting on you. And while the dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, McDonald's, or Little Caesars. Shout out strips and, or slices and sticks. Many of your favorite local restaurants are also still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food will be left right at your door. The deliveries are now contactless. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's all capital letters, one word. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA one more time. LOCKEDONNBA, promo code for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Okay, so we're back, and we're just kind of continuing here with the more dramatic changes, actual quote that Steve Ballmer would like to initiate.
Starting with Doc is what's crazy, is that it started, that's starting with Doc. So here's the dramatic changes, in case you forgot, that the Clippers have gone through pretty recently. The CP3 trade, the Blake trade, the Tobias trade, the PG and Kawhi trade, and now letting Earth go. How much more dramatic are things going to get compared to what happened to get PG and Kawhi and then letting Doc go? And I'm not looking for an actual answer here, but like, damn,
you
man,
left, you
what
left
is
going to
happen?
You left the Morris trade off here too.
Yes, and the Morris trade. There's been so many big ass things. Like, what does this mean? Started is the key word, but like, what does this mean?
I don't know. I'm hoping that this is more just kind of like organizational speech, or, you know, like business approach versus being actual hands on.
Yeah.
I hope what he's speaking to is just a dramatic change in the culture of the team from what we saw this year. And hopefully, a more serious direction. It definitely gets a little worrisome when you hear like multiple changes. That's something to keep an eye on.
And what's odd to me too is, so the dramatic changes that would also maybe possibly indicate that maybe we're not looking like that, to me, like kind of strikes down part of the Lou's going to get hired for sure argument, as head coach. If Ballmer wants dramatic changes, it seems like promoting someone within is not necessarily a dramatic change. And like I said, could be reading too far into this, but Ballmer's talked about too kind of wanting to learn the ropes with an NBA team and seeing what happens before he starts, kind of to get more involved. I know that kind of has like a negative connotation, but it's something that I think is fair to be quasi, at least keep in the back of our minds in terms of what might happen in the coming weeks.
Agreed. And, you know, we talked about it on the last show too, but I mean, he has put, you know, he's more than doubled what he originally bought the team for, into this new arena. And so he has a vested financial future in this team, even greater than what he had before. I don't think that he's going to settle for anything less than success. I mean, I it would be a huge deal to have a chip before they move into that new stadium and possibly even rebrand.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. The thing that gets difficult is, you know, you really never want an owner to be too involved.
Ever.
It's just, and like, while a franchise is obviously a business, there's differences.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it's like any task or large organization. Like, the best leaders are the ones who delegate the task to other people who can achieve them well versus trying to have a hand on every single thing.
100%.
I don't know. Do you think that this puts the Ty Lue conversation, like, do you think that moves him further down the list of candidates, or what do you think we're looking at here?
I think it kind of does. I also like, I mean,
is the front office safe?
I think they got to be, because they help construct what we're at right now, which can have been something that Ballmer didn't want or have some input on, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Ballmer also, I think the front office is safe. I think they're going to, why not let them see what they can do coming up? Because, like, people are now, like,
they just haven't had a misstep, really.
Yes. There's been so much chatter about people who are like, oh, well, now with a new coach, like, Bev is on the table, Sham's on the table. Like, and I think all those people were kind of already on the table already, even before Doc was let go, right? Like, that was kind of the prevailing idea, was that Kawhi was the only quote-unquote untouchable. None of that is, like, source or anything. That's just what people are assuming, which I think is very fair to assume.
Especially especially, yeah, with this new information about Ballmer and wanting dramatic change.
Like, that makes sense. But, yeah, man, I just don't know what's next. Like, so Ballmer in the ESPN article, they wrote it kind of ominously. They said that he consulted with key players, and it was reported that nothing those players told him affected his decision, which is, like, I think a pretty ominous way to write down what happened. I think it's kind of another duh moment, right, that he consulted with key players.
Like, yeah.
There's no way he's not talking to Kawhi, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, this could just be like he can't come out and say Kawhi and Paul George told me they didn't want Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and I don't think Kawhi and Paul George did that either. I think they just maybe talked about, like, Ballmer knows how to ask the right questions, right? Like, you can, we've all been in that scenario where it's like, oh, you don't like this person. Like, well, I'm not saying that. And they're like, oh, well, how would you feel that the rotations were going when he was calling most of the rotation? Like, that kind of thing.
For sure.
Where I'm sure it was a more nuanced conversation than some people are thinking. And I don't think they, you know, asked him to be fired specifically. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a great point. Like, this conversation wasn't him asking point blank, do you
check
think Doc
box,
Rivers
yes
should be
no.
fired?
Yeah.
You know, there was definitely you know, I'm sure the exit interview had a lot more subtlety than that. And you know, I think that he wanted to fire Doc.
Yeah, he was going to. It's like, from the reports, it was like he almost did it right after game 7. Like,
yeah.
It was gonna happen. Like, yeah.
And maybe that is a need creation, but it was clear this year that it wasn't working. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
How do you feel now that we're kind of like at least a day removed from it? How are you feeling on, like, the was it a knee jerk reaction?
Since we don't have a coach, it feels a lot like a knee jerk reaction. I mean, you know, you talked about it yesterday, and, you know, I thought you said it perfectly. Like, we have to nail this coaching hire. You know, it's like,
yeah.
There's no other option.
Yeah, it's really going to suck.
So I would say, if anything, yeah, I'm even more anxious.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Every day that
we got 12 days of not being anxious.
We don't have a coach. Or even hearing about an interview. I would even like to hear about an interview with a candidate.
Yeah.
To know, you know, where we're at, what's going on. But
we're
I doubt
not,
that,
right?
You know, I'm not going to – they're not going to give me – they're not going to give me that information. So,
well, it's like, you know, like, we heard about Ty Lue, like, supposedly having the interview. We're recording this on a Tuesday. Supposedly having his interview today with the 76ers. We're not going to hear – like, I think it's going to be difficult to hear about all the candidates that the Clippers – talk to. And you know what, fine, just let me be surprised by the Woj bomb, and then let me maybe have to Google who we hired, because who knows what's gonna happen. But yeah, hope Steve Ballmer, this is bigger than the PG trade in terms of franchise stuff now. Like, the PG trade was a big owner thing to kind of oversee, and this is
yeah.
bigger.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, the pressure is just so on.
Yeah. You know what? Let's put those positive vibes out there. Coming up, speaking of positive vibes, we're going to be talking about someone's kind of positive postseason, and Landry Shamet's postseason grade. But first, Will, I hear all these youths talking about Built Bar. I need some more information on what these things actually do.
The youths do be talking Built Bar. And
awesome.
The thing is, makes sense. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. For those of you who have a nut allergy, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie. They're low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Makes them great for the keto diet. And right now, we have a very special offer for listeners. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, welcome to Landry Shamet postseason grade. Bit of an odd one for Shamet in these playoffs in terms
yeah,
of
for
what
sure.
he had to do. A lot of us kind of thought he was out of the rotation, and then he popped back in. We had him for all 13 games. He started 4 of them, 3-1 versus Dallas with him in the starting lineup. Offensively, nothing very good, not to be too blunt about it. He averaged 5 points, almost 2 boards, 1 assist, and 18 minutes a game. Pretty rough shooting splits, 40% from the field, 35% from 3, 71% from the line, taking about 3 threes a game. plus 0.1 net rating. Hey, hey, technically positive. His highest scoring games were games 3 and 5 against Dallas. And against Denver, he never scored higher than 5 points. But he had to do a lot of extra stuff when he started.
He did.
He stepped in for Reggie Jackson and made the team look better in terms of, like, running stuff. But it's just interesting. It was such a – it was kind of like the Lou Will postseason, right? Like, the shooting wasn't there, but the other stuff kind of was.
Yeah, yeah. And while the numbers don't jump out on you on those shooting splits, I mean, he did overall improve – he did improve his overall field goal percentage. He was more efficient from three on almost half the attempts that he took in the postseason last year. So while the 5 points, you know, maybe doesn't exactly jump out at you, you know, he was only on, he was under 5 field goal attempts a game.
Yeah.
So if he's still averaging 5 points, that, you know, that's pretty efficient.
And he wasn't getting shots up in the regular season. Things were still wonky with that too, right? Like, we still didn't really see a lot of stuff called for him. So his ramping up, kind of like Zuzu we talk about, was derailed.
Definitely. And, you know, his ramping up was even slowed because he was another one of the players who had COVID.
Yeah. God damn.
So, you know, I can't imagine how much that must have affected him getting into shape, you know, having to quarantine and then getting into shape, you know, not being there with the team when everyone else got there in the bubble. And then, you know, not having a whole lot of minutes. You know, we were still trying the Reggie Jackson thing for a while there. And you know, that when Reggie Jackson had a solid performance with that bench unit for that, you know, 7-game stretch or whatever at the at the end of the regular season.
He shot like 40% from three.
You know, we seriously questioned what Landry's position was in this rotation. And I'm of the opinion now that depending on how things go, I mean, I would like to see Landry Shamet possibly back in a starting role.
It'd be sweet. I mean, he'd get the reps that he needs and he'd help space the floor. And you can, you know, you just move Kawhi and PG down one pretty much. And then in terms of centers, you're flexible with that too. You can put Zoo out there. You can put, you know, Jermichael out there. And then it's just an absurd lineup in terms of shooting and stuff like that. But yeah, like, he knows. It's tough because I do think Shamet's the most tradable asset in terms of potential. Like, in terms of, you know, we talked about last time a little bit how, like, kind of a lot of people are on the block, and Shamet is an attractive asset for a team. And if we want a playmaking guard, maybe something happens. He only makes just over $2 million, so it would have to be coupled with something.
Yeah, you got to package him with somebody else. But that's where something like the Jermichael signing becomes even more crucial because, I mean, A, he's a great guy to have, and I would love to keep him on this team. But B, if you do want to grease the wheels on any sort of trade, you have to have another salary to match to even get, like, a good role player.
Yeah, and then you look at Lou and, you know, Bev's contracts, and those are kind of ones that kind of fill pieces in as well, too. Like, they're, totally. It's weird because there's room for these pieces. But, sorry, we're talking about Shamet. I got off on a bit of a tangent. I would probably give him, like, a C-.
Interesting.
Like, the efficiency, I wish it would have been better. I'm a little greedy efficiency-wise, but, like, you know, it was as expected with what he got. Like, he didn't truly wow me. And, like, you know, like, he looked good. He looked really good. So, like, yeah, like, a high C-, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of in the – like the B- to C range. I just think that, you know, this is another one of those things where I can see a strike on not developing the younger players because,
oh yeah,
to the eye test, the offense looked better when Landry was out there.
For sure.
And he, you know, he's like one of the biggest sort of off ball sort of movement guys that we have.
Well, you think about him in the 18-19 team. Doc talked about it multiple times about how he was running the same sets for Sham as was for JJ, and none of that was there this year, which kind of makes sense given PG and Kawhi come to the team. But, like, you got to have some to get him some kind of development so he's ready for a bigger stage.
Definitely. And, I mean, the thing is like, he still shot 36% from three, which is better than he shot last year in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, you'd like to see that be a number, but he also averaged 18 minutes a game in this playoff run versus nearly 30 last time. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if I'm having a hard time differentiating grading solely the player versus grading the result.
That's fair.
Because if we grade the result, I'm with you, man. It's C minus, maybe even as low as a D plus. But if I'm grading sheerly the player, had they been put in a better, place to succeed, I gotta go with B minus. So I think that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna go B minus.
That's fair. Is there anyone? So B minus. Let us know what you think about the grades at Locked On Clips. Is there anyone else who even played enough to grade on the bench?
Should we do Reggie?
Yeah, we'll do Reggie on Thursday. That's going to be an interesting one. But yeah, that about wraps it up. Will, where can these fantastic Clippers fans tell their friends to listen to us if they want to?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app on your phone or computer. We're also on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Deezer. We're on Stitcher. And you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Also, if you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave us a rating, a review. It'd be great. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you love.
We got a couple five-star reviews. Shout out Chill Yaroslav, who gave us a five-star review. And shout out Yeti Mooses. We interact on Twitter every now and then. Shout out Yeti Moose. We appreciate those reviews, guys. It really helps us out. Thursday's episode, we're going to be grading Reggie Jackson's postseason, which will be an interesting one to talk about. Thirsty Thursday with what we want to see more of from the new hires, maybe. And then whatever the hell's might come up between now and then in Clipperland. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.